Today's title is Simeon, Who Saw God's Salvation. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. This scene is an event that took place not very long after Jesus was born in Israel, when 8 days have passed after a child is born. The child is to be circumcised, and Jesus also went to the temple of God in order to keep that custom. There a man named Simeon, who had been told by the Holy Spirit and had received a promise that he would see the Messiah. So Jesus met the infant Jesus and sang a song of joyful praise. At that time, when Jesus was born, Israel, for a very long time, had been waiting and longing for the coming of Messiah as a whole nation. However, even though the Messiah actually came, no one was able to recognize that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, had come. Now did they rejoice. As we know, Jesus was born in a certain stable in Bethlehem, and the only one who came to worship Jesus were the Magi from the East, who had come from a place far removed from Israel, and the shepherds, who were keeping watch over their flocks at night while living outdoors. Furthermore, King Herod tried to kill the infant Jesus. And during Jesus' public ministry, those who aimed at his life and put Jesus to death on the cross were the very religious leaders who never ceased longing for the Messiah, and who taught and instructed the people of Israel about the coming of Messiah. The question is, why do such ironic things? Such irony happened. Why were they unable to encounter Jesus, who they had waited for eagerly? Why is it that even though they see, they do not understand. Even though they hear, they do not understand. Even though they touch, they do not understand. Christmas, in our society as well, has become something like an annual event that brings the year to close. But in the church, needless to say, it is also a great and important season. I was not raised in a Christian home, but when I was in elementary school, somehow, when Christmas came, my heart would feel excited. And I was looking forward to it as a day when I could receive, or at least expect, a present in addition to my birthday. I remember riding a train together with my younger sister, going one stop to Nishi Arai Station, buying a Christmas cake at a supermarket called Nichi, and then the two of us going to the toy section to look at the toy we wanted to beg for. After becoming Christian, mistaken ideas such as Christmas being a day to receive a present or a day to go on a date with one's sweetheart disappeared. And it became simply a day to rejoice in the birth of Jesus. I also remember fondly the love feast that we used to have once a year after a Christmas worship service. The Christmas dance festival held during the evening of worship service and the Christmas groove that we prepared together with the young people. After attending the Christmas Eve candle service on the 24th, we sang Christmas carol together with caroling group under the cold night sky. And then there were the warm and delicious meals at the homes of those who invited caroling group. Christmas, after becoming Christian, became a time overflowing with gratitude and joy that was a meaning completely different from Christmas before that. It is certainly enjoyable. Christmas, celebrated with understanding of its true meaning, was clearly different from Christmas that simply differ along in vaguely festive atmosphere and passes by without much thought. There is gratitude and there is joy. But when we spend a whole month every year in what is called Advent, the season of waiting, somehow it ends all too easily, or I begin to wonder whether this alone truly constitutes Christmas. I sometimes feel there is a danger that Christmas may become something we simply get through, something that just passed by without much thought. Why is that? Perhaps the biggest reason is that the way we enjoy Christmas, in the way we celebrate it, and in the way we understand Christmas, we may not be faith-centered at the most basic and most important point. The question is whether we have a perspective and attitude like that of Simeon. The Jews 2,000 years ago were all waiting for Messiah as a deliverer who would solve external problems, surface problems, and the various problems that arose in daily life. From their point of view, I should not say when Jesus comes. They thought, if the Messiah comes, we will be freed from Roman oppression. Punishment will be brought upon all surrounding nations that persecuted Israel, and political and military glory and existed in the days of the old Davidic kingdom will be restored. If we apply this to our lives today, it would mean that they were expecting a situation and a condition in which all difficulties, economic hardship, physical and mental illness, or problems related to one's environment and the circumstances would be resolved, leaving no worries, no anxieties, and only joy. Of course, Jesus did come as the Messiah. He came in order to resolve all the problems of humanity, but the reason he did not perfectly match what they expected lies in the fact that they overlooked, failed to notice that the first key solving all problems is the resolution of sin. That is, the resolution of our human sin. Therefore, as we approach this Christmas, regardless of what kind of present we expect or what kind of happy things we are hoping for, the greatest, most important, and core matter in welcoming Christmas is this: that we ourselves remember that we are, more than anyone else, deeply entrenched, long-seasoned sinners. And as we fight against sin, against wickedness, transgression, and sinful hearts, trying to drive them out, and resisting even to the point of shedding blood, then, like Simeon, by seeing salvation in the infant Jesus, seeing the light of revelation, and seeing glory, we may be able to give thanks, rejoice, and spend a truly meaningful Christmas. We often also, without realizing it, reflect on the birth of the Lord Jesus without thoughts such as, Jesus came for me. Thoughts that are self-centered, selfish, self-indulgent, sentimental, and focused on only our own healing. Yet the Jesus himself, who was born, came to this earth with intention that clearly draws a line from such for me thinking, and he told us follow him in that way. When we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10 in the Old Testament, after the Lord God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, we find that there is something we command that them again and again, repeatedly, many times over. Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and now observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God bring the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it, Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he calls you their descendants above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner resident among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God, and serve him. Hold fast to him, and take your oath in his name. He is the one who prays. He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went out into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. It is this: keep the commandment of Lord your God, for you one God good. What is true happiness for a human being? What is true blessing for humanity? It is to follow the will of the Lord God. But then, what kind of God is this God? He is the one who does not judge by outward appearance, who shows no partiality, who takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the foreigner and gives him food and clothing. He is the complete opposite of what is popularly talked about today as Japanese first. He is compassionate God. He is a God who bestows grace, a God who shows mercy, and a God who mobilizes all that he is for happiness of all people. He is not God who harms others for his own sake, nor God who builds his own glory upon the suffering of others. He is the true God. Why is the Lord God? Why is the Lord God? Why is only God of the Bible worthy to receive praise? Because he is the true God, and because he alone is God. When he look at Greek mythology, we see God created by human beings who may have more power than humans, but whose hearts no different from human hearts, narrow, self-centered, and capricious. The good God created by human beings, other than the God of the Bible, whom we believe in, were made in the same way human projected their own image onto them. Therefore, in content, they are exactly the same as humans. They are called God, and yet they are not God-like at all, just as some say. Psalm chapter 115, verse 4 through 8. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouth but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, and the Apostle Paul says that those God wrung out by human hands are demons, the work of evil spirit who cause people to make false gods, and that those who associate with such false gods are associating with demons. Using the expression godlike may sound irrelevant, but because we live in a world overturned with false gods, I dare to use it. A truly godlike God must not only possess power, but must also draw forth from us human willing, brutally conviction, a surrender, a yielding, so that we willingly and gladly kneel before Him and raise a white flag full of hope. The one true God taught by the Bible, whom we believe in, precisely such a God, even if because of our human short-sightedness, we do not understand at present moment. When we look back later, His ways will draw out our conviction, our surrender, and our white flag, and we will kneel before Him willingly, filled with hope. The depth of the grace and mercy is so vast, so generous, so patient, that it cannot be contained by anything in all creation. In 1 Corinthians 30, the chapter love, the very first word used to describe love is patient. That is, God is love, and the God who is love is patient God. And among the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians, there is also patience. That is, God who is Spirit is generous and a patient God. Then what is Christmas? The celebration of such God taking on human for human home and being born as an infant. The one and only Lord God did not reveal His glory by punishing us, dragging us into calamity and judgment, or forcing us to acknowledge Him through fear, disaster, and condemnation. Rather, in order to rescue us from this hardship and sorrow, the very God who created all things came Himself into our midst, bore our troubles, sufferings, and weakness, because substitute for our sins, and revealed His glory through the grace and salvation He bestowed upon us. And is this not the most important posture required of us as we welcome Christmas? It is when we care for our neighbors, share by sacrificing what is ours, and look upon those who are in hardship that Christmas truly shines. It is because Jesus was like that the Bible describes Him as the true light, which gives light to everyone. If we rejoice and enjoy Christmas only among ourselves, only within our own families, then we may be acting contrary to the meaning, this intention, and will that God embodied, expressed, and poured into Christmas. If we follow the principle to its end, then when we who have offered Christmas worship leave this sanctuary, we would take off and let go of everything, from the clothes we are wearing to our most treasured possessions, and allow them to be used to become warmth for someone else, to be used to share and comfort someone else's pain. That, I believe, is meaning of Christmas. And if we cannot do that, if we wish to refuse and decline, then before God, we may become people who care only about ourselves, people who devour the flesh and blood of the infant Messiah Jesus, who gave everything, wipe our mouth elegantly with a napkin, and walk away with our face as if nothing happened. Believers who do not give the slightest thought to the will of Jesus, or perhaps spiritual thieves. A professor who was my instructor at seminary once said, "Hon, perhaps the church has produced many Christians who are like vampires, who do nothing but suck the blood of Jesus. You and I must first recognize that we ourselves are indeed such Christians. And yet, let us become Christians who know and express the will of Jesus." These are unforgettable words, the words that straighten one's posture and say, "This is how it must be." Every year, year after year, we spend the season of Christmas. Of course, it is a joyful and wonderful time, but has it not perhaps passed by surprisingly easily, even emptily? If that is the case, it may be because it does not fully align with or coincide with the meaning, intention, and will of Jesus' coming. Will of Jesus' coming. Perhaps we feel poor because we ask, "Why are there no presents? Why is there so little left in my hand? Why are we not given something worldly and solid to rely on as we live in this world?" And this is so even though, because of redemption of Jesus Christ, we have been made children of God and are in reality rich, having been given hearts that are content. Do we feel it is regrettable? I cannot accept this. It is frustrating. It is unbearable. Do we feel, even if I believe in Jesus, there is no guarantee? If so, then it means that what Simeon spoke, guided by Holy Spirit, to Joseph and Mary, who were holding the infant Jesus in their arms, is happening within us. So that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. Before Jesus, who emptied himself of everything that belonged to being God. Many people have the greed in their hearts revealed, their selfishness revealed, their self-centered thoughts revealed, seeking only their own healing. The lack of love and lack of patience are revealed, contrary to the will of God. They feel frustration toward Jesus, sense that he is someone who has nothing, someone useless, perceive only powerlessness and shabbiness, that cease to solve nothing, and are unable, unlike Simeon, to see God's salvation in the infant Jesus, to see the light of revelation that illuminates people, and to see the glory of God. Then can we who are gathered at this Christmas worship see in the same way as Simeon, salvation, the light of revelation, and glory falling up glory in the infant Jesus, who is held in the arms of poor, fallen parents who were once of royal lineage. True Christmas is when we break free from selfish hearts stained by sin, from personal greed, and from the bad habit of thinking only of ourselves, and make this day something greater, when we embody with our very lives the fact that the Lord came for us, rescued us from sin, and delivered us from self-centeredness, grasping, impurity, and emptiness. Only then I believe that Christmas truly become a day of joy for us. Otherwise, there is a danger that lighting the Christmas tree, holding joyful gathering, and even singing hymn will amount to nothing more than an internal party for ourselves. A light that does not shine into darkness has no value as light, and the salt that is not scattered where there is decay has no value as salt. Christmas too is to time. Christmas is a time when we strive to embody words of Jesus. You are light of the world. You are the salt in the earth. It is not too late. Before this year passed, may we look around us and in obedience to the will of Father God, who long before we recognize any need, long before we ask anything of him, and while we were still sinners, sent his only Son, caused him to be born in a stable, and put him to death on the cross for us. Remember the joyful, glorified content of the salvation that the cross has given us as children of God, and may this be Christmas in which we express through our way of living what it means to be Christians. May we clearly recognize that difference, and as though clothed with grace, and as though clothed with power, as Christians who believe in Christ. May we not give up walking out the Christian life. May we be victor in Christmas, who do not give up responding and acting in way that are fitting to the will of God. Let's pray. Dear God, we pretend to celebrate your birth, and for me. We tend to be self-centered, but let us focus on your will. Please let us walk in your Christmas, what you meant to be. You came for us, Jesus. Then please help us. We can walk to someone who needs us like you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this Christmas. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.